live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 20th day of June 2025. And I would appreciate the prayers of my listeners today, as today is a very bittersweet anniversary for me. Today would have been my 34th wedding anniversary, and the Lord saw fit to take my precious bride, Julie, home with him back in 2010, in December of 2010, and he has... And she has been with him for eternity ever since. But today was our wedding anniversary date. So I appreciate your prayers for me today. But I am absolutely thrilled to have one of my favorite guests of all time, and also one of my favorite guests, one of the favorite guests that I have on the program in the minds and hearts of my audience, a growing number of my audience members, who absolutely love this guest, just as I do. His name is Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, and it's been a while since Joe has been on the program, far too long, and I'm so glad that he has returned today. He is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and author of an 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity, and the author of other books as well. And we are going to be having a very timely discussion today. We're going to have Pastor Moorcraft give a Reformed Christian response to the Ted Cruz-Tucker Carlson dispute over the modern state of Israel and Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
Always an honor to be on your show, Chris.
Amen. Well, the pleasure is all mine, brother. Many of our listeners will know that just recently, Tucker Carlson had an interview with Senator Ted Cruz. And I don't know the exact date that the interview took place, but I know that Tucker made it public, or at least an excerpt from it, on X on June 17th. So the interview likely just occurred 3 or 4 days ago at the most. And it turned into a very heated discussion over the issue of should America be siding with and supporting the modern nation of Israel in all they do, in all their conflicts, etc. And Ted Cruz said the number one compelling factor for him, for America to support the modern-day state of Israel, was that he heard and remembered from the Bible since the days of his youth that the Lord said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, referring to Israel back in the days of Genesis when it was written. And this would have been specifically a citation from Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And Tucker Carlson pushed back on Mr. Cruz, challenging him as to whether or not this was actually referring to today's modern state of Israel. And we're going to have Dr. Joe Moorcraft give his opinion, which is the opinion of many, if not most, Reformed Christians. So why don't you tell us about that, Joe? Is Genesis 12:3 and even all references to Israel in the Old Covenant, can we trust that throughout the millennia that everything that God promised to that nation in the Old Covenant, should we be taking it for granted that he is intending us to view this modern state of Israel in the same way as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy? Joe, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir. And this is one of my favorite topics. It's one of the most important topics that we can consider. But in order to get to that question, we've got to go back to the 1600s in the colonies. America has always been shaped in its politics and in its society by its understanding of the kingdom of God. That concept has changed through the years, and every time America changes its view on what the kingdom of God is and how it shows itself in time, has caused a great change in American politics and American society. So if you don't mind, I'd like to go back a little, just very quickly, and talk about the kingdom of God and the concept in America. Go all the way back to the 1600s with the coming of the Pilgrims, the coming of Jamestown, and the coming of English Puritans to New England and of Irish to the South. They did not come over here just to sit on a hill, learn how to play a guitar, and wait for Jesus to come. They came over here to build a city on a hill. Now, that phrase, Ronald Reagan used to use that phrase a lot, but that phrase comes from the Puritan, themselves that came over here. They wanted to build a city on a hill. That is a nation and a society that would be based on Christianity and which would lead to the conversion of all the Indians of this continent and would also result in being a model for all the various nations of the world. So as a result, the colonies continued to grow and they America grew from sea to shining sea. There was a phrase they used in the early 1800s called manifest destiny. They believed that the destiny of America was from the Atlantic to the Pacific. In fact, I like to use a trivia question to fool people, and that is, who was the governor of Illinois, the first governor of Illinois? His portrait is in the rotunda of the capital of Illinois. And of course, most people do not know the answer to that question, not even people from Illinois, but it's got a great answer. The first governor of Illinois was Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry was also governor of Virginia when Virginia was a nation that went from sea to sea, and Illinois was a county in Virginia. So the early founders of this country wanted to build the kingdom of God for people, how God's word wants them to build society, establish churches, create governments, and relate with the various other governments of the world. that view dominated on up until the middle 1700s. And then in the late 1700s, the view of the American view of the kingdom of God began to change, because there was a European transplant that came to America in the late middle 1700s called Unitarianism. And Unitarianism had the same view of the kingdom of God in that it would be victorious over all the world. But that's the only similarity. The Unitarians did not believe in the Bible as the word of God. They did believe there was a Trinity. They believe that man is basically good and he can be perfected by compulsory state-supported education and the control of society and businesses by the federal government. And so that view spread all over New England. And it was described in terms of progress. If the federal government can control everything, there will be sufficient progress for mankind to be perfected. And as a result, the great Puritanism that was so strong in the early 1700s began to wane, and it began to weaken, and it began to be replaced by Unitarianism. And as a result, by the end of the first of the 1700s, Unitarian was the dominant religion in New England. It had replaced the powerful Puritan empire. And there is a book that we talked about a while ago. It's one of the most important books that I've read. It's a short book. And it is readable. You can read it two or three times. And the point of the book is, why the Puritan empire in New England fell. Why did it fall to Unitarianism when it had been so strong for decade after decade? And the name of that book is The Guise of Every Graceless Heart. The Guise of Every Graceless Heart, and is written by a man in Western North Carolina named Terry Elniff, E-L-N-I-F-F. So go to Amazon. It's published by Rush Duties Organization. Go to Amazon and buy it and read it and reread it. I've tried to memorize it. In fact, I have memorized sections of it because it is so important. Why did Puritanism fail in North America? And the answer is, number one, it secularized its understanding of the kingdom of God rather than the old Puritan view. And the Puritans always believed in a victory orientation of the kingdom of God. Another great book to read, published by Banner of Truth, written by Ian Murray, is The Puritan Hope. That's one of the most important books in my life. The Puritan Hope shows that throughout the life of Puritanism in England and New England, they believed in the victory of the kingdom of Christ all over life by faithful Christian living and by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. But the Puritans had a weakness, just like we have a weakness today. The Puritans had a weakness, and that was, even though they were all Calvinistic and they were all Augustinian, there was a section of their thinking that was so weak that it eventually brought down their whole house. And the way I say it, the way Elniff said it, is their Calvinism ate up their Augustinianism. Now, Augustine lived in the fifth century and wrote great books that we ought to read, like Confession or like The City of God. Particularly, The City of God is about the Augustinian view of the future of the kingdom of God on earth. It talked about two cities, the city of man and the city of God. And the city of God was comprised of people who loved God, and the city of man
was comprised of people who loved man and worshiped man. And eventually the city of God would win over the city of man in time and space and in history. And as long as that was a prominent view in the old Catholic Church, there were good people in the Catholic Church. But then about the 12th century, a man named Thomas Aquinas replaced Augustine in terms of influence. And Thomas Aquinas said, although we do need the Bible to understand some things, we don't need the Bible to understand everything, and we can understand some things without the Bible by the proper use of reason. And it was that view of reason on par with the Bible by saying that some areas of life can be understood without the Bible and by a proper use of reason that eventually spread and brought down Puritanism. It caused humanism to rise, and it took over the North. Humanism was socialistic. It believed that the kingdom of God was going to increase, and the world was going to get better and better, and through education and through philosophy and through all these secular means, and that had to be by the compulsory education of children by the state and the control of what man did in his on his own property. So by the late 1700s, early 1800s, there was that dominant religion in the North called Unitarianism, socialism. It didn't get anywhere in the South, because the South was not influenced by Unitarianism, nor by Unitarianism's understanding of the kingdom of God. The South, and particularly in Presbyterian and Baptist churches, the South was still dominated by a covenantal view of life, believing that God's relationship with man is based upon his covenant relationship to man. And that covenant was a union, a communion, a fellowship that God had established with man through Jesus Christ, and which man would be his people, and they would enjoy that relationship through faith. So the South, the Unitarians of the North, had to break the back of the influence of the Southern Christians, because they had a greater influence on the federal government than the North did for a while. And so they were for limited government. They didn't want to make the government any stronger. And they understood the kingdom of God involved Christian education, Christian churches, Christian businesses. In fact, one man once said, and this is a great statement, he said, the last nation of medieval Christendom perished in 1865. Now, what he meant by that is the South, during the Middle Ages, Europe tried to be Christian. It didn't do it well. It wanted to establish Christendom, where every aspect of life was dominated by Christ and by Christianity. They didn't do it well, but they tried. So we talk about the Middle Ages as Christendom. The South wanted to establish Christendom in the South after Unitarianism had secularized Puritanism and taken over the North. The South, Unitarianism influenced the South, but the South tried to be Christian. It didn't do it well, but it tried to be Christian. And you have some of the greatest preachers in the history of the Christian church that preached in the South in those early and middle years of the 19th century. They kept their view, Christian view of the covenant and of kingdom. They believed that God's kingdom was based on the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and that it would advance through the word of God and in the power of God until the world's nations were converted to Christ. Well, the Unitarians knew that if they are going to take over the federal government and establish a secularized nation, they had to break the back of the influence of Southern Christianity. And so they hired a man named John Brown to try to start a revolution among the slaves, which he couldn't do. In fact, the first man he killed when he came to the South was a black man. The Unitarians started the Civil War. They wanted to break their influence on Washington, and so they sent troops into the South to try to break that influence, and the South fought to keep them from breaking that influence. Well, of course, the North, Northern Unitarianism won, and if you want a great book on that history, get The Secret Six by Otto Scott, a great book on six wealthy Unitarians that financed the military destruction of the South. And it's a great book. You can get that on Amazon as well. The Secret Six by Otto Scott. So by 1861, the South is in shambles. Southern Christianity, which was largely reformed, had been broken. Its influence on Washington had stopped. The Unitarians were in power. And then there was a period right after the Civil War called Reconstruction, when the Unitarians fought to destroy the last remnant of Christendom, the last remnant of a Christian social and moral order in the South. With that came Unitarianism all over the United States. And this view of progress, that there will be progress, we can enter into a perfect world as it gradually evolves based on evolution, as it basically evolves, and as we're fit children are go to public schools, and all aspects of society are controlled by the state. So by the end, now when you want me to quit talking, tell me.
Can keep going, brother.
Okay, I will. So, that's what Trump said to Israel the other day, right after they bombed the nuclear facilities in Iran. Trump said to Israel, keep going. But anyway, so late 1800s, the South was totally defeated. It had this defeatistic spirit. The great preachers that Baptist Presbyterian that once had this victory orientation to life, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, were now so depressed. They, particularly Robert L. Dabney, he understood what had just happened better than some people. And he understand that Christianity was broken by Northern Unitarianism. And nobody grieved as much about the fall of the South than Robert L. Dabney. He understood what happened. So even before the Civil War, most of the Baptists and the Presbyterians were Calvinists and had a victory orientation to life. But after the breaking of the South, by the end of the 1800s, the many former people who believed in victory of the South changed their views, and they became defeatists. Even Dabney himself, who stayed victory orientation all his life, nevertheless, in his systematic theology book, which was 800 or 900 pages long, he only had one short paragraph on the victory of the kingdom of God, so that he was extremely pessimistic. And then on the shoulders of that emotional pessimism that dominated things in the North and the South, because there were still Christians in the North, and they were defeated too, because the Unitarians had taken over their churches. And so with this widespread American pessimism, theological pessimism stood on the shoulders of this emotional pessimism that dominated the country by the end of the 1800s. Now, what is theological pessimism? Well, there was another view started in England, came to America, largely influenced by a man named C.I. Scofield and a Bible with notes that he wrote called the Scofield Reference Bible. And he had a completely different view of the kingdom than had ever been held in America before. We call that today several things. We call it dispensationalism, or we call it rapturalism, or we call it pre-tribulation, premillennialism. And that is the view in America, and that is totally un-American. America never believed that. But he spread it largely because he was financed by a group of wealthy, non-Christian Jewish businessmen in New York who were willing to pay for the publication of his Bible if he included Zionism in it. Now, these guys were not Christian. And Scofield was a Christian. And so what's he doing making a deal with non-Christian Jewish businessmen to introduce into America something called Zionism? Well, here's what dispensationalism did. So dispensationalism stood on the shoulder of American pessimism with its different view of the kingdom. And then modern socialism and liberalism and Marxism stood on the shoulders of Scofield to continue this destruction of America that we saw clearly throughout the 20th century and the 21st century, and especially during the 4 years of Biden. What they taught was this. They taught that man's only hope is not to try to reform or improve society. They were not Unitarian. They believed that there would not be any progress in society. The older Christians believed there would be in terms of Christ. The Unitarians believed there would be by everybody getting better, by improving culture. But this new view now of dispensationalism taught that there's not going to be improvement, not going to be any progress in life and history. That the world is just going to get worse and worse, and our only hope is that a rapture will come, that Christ will cause a secret, silent rapture to take place in which all Christians will be snatched out of this world and taken to heaven, and the world will be left in the hands of the non-Christian with 7 years of horrible tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, the persecution of Christians. And at the end of that 7 years, Christ will come back and create a literal 1,000-year government on the earth that will be predominantly Jewish. And many of Scofield's disciples believed that there would also be the reinstitution of the sacrificial system in the temple. And at the end of that 1,000-year period, I'm not making any of this up. At the end of this 1,000-year period, Christ will come back. And he will rule the world from his capital in Jerusalem until he's trapped in his capital by being surrounded by various anti-Christian forces, troops, tanks, and all the like. Can you imagine? That's the second humiliation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So he's trapped in Jerusalem, and God has to rescue him. And that's basically the worst part of dispensationalism. All through American history in the early days, they understood that our laws to enhance liberty and justice for all, that the laws of the kingdom must be based upon the law of God in the Bible. And that if our laws are not based upon the laws of God on the Bible, in the Bible, then it is the kingdom of Christ, of Satan, that will prevail in this land. So Scofield, and of course the Unitarians, Scofield and his dispensationalists and rapturists and people influenced by them believe that the laws of God were from the Old Testament and not to be applied today in modern America, that they were in the old dispensation and were for the Jews and not for anything today. And that's still the popular view, unfortunately. Even many evangelicals believe it. I was on a television show one time on PBS, and we were asked the question, as Christians, what do you believe should be the legal foundation of American jurisprudence and American civil law? And all of us who were on the show said that we believe that the laws of America must be based upon the law of God contained in Holy Scripture. And we gave such passages as Romans 13 and the like. Well, they needed somebody from another perspective. So they asked a man from a famous guy from Dallas Seminary, which is the largest dispensational seminary in the country. They said to this famous man, do you agree with these men that biblical law should be the basis of civil law and jurisprudence in the United States and modern America? And he said, no. And then this little reporter, who didn't realize how important the question she was asking, she said to this man, well, since you're a Christian, if not biblical law, then what? And he said, the Code of Hammurabi.
Wow.
Really? The Code of Hammurabi. Hammurabi was a Babylonian king thousands of years ago who codified the laws of Babylon. And until recently, all of that was lost in the sands of Iran. The Code of Hammurabi. And I can tell you all kinds of stories about that.
Well, we have to
the kingdom of God has drastically changed.
Yeah,
America comes into the 20th century. It leaves many of its strengths behind in the 18th century.
Okay, brother, we have to go to our first commercial break right now, and we can pick up where you left off.
Okay, great.
And if anybody wants to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries announcing that this September I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
Hello, I'm Daniel Wolford, CEO and President of Lebanon Fell Credit Union. And we're excited to be part of the Iron Sharpens Iron radio family. At Lebanon Fell Credit Union, we're proud to serve the community with six convenient locations across Lebanon County, Pennsylvania, and we're growing. We offer competitive rates on everything from loans to savings, and we're dedicated to providing top-notch member service. We pride ourselves on the credit union movement of people helping people. We are deeply involved in our community, supporting local events and organizations that help make a difference. When you join Lebanon Fell Credit Union, you'll immediately notice the difference. Our focus on meeting your financial needs with personal care and a friendly touch. LFCU can also offer you better rates and lower fees than our competitors. To find out more, please visit us online at lebanonfcu.org. Membership eligibility is required. Federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joan Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Welcome back, and if you just tuned us in, our guest today is the very man who was being raved about in that commercial with Joe Riley from Ireland. Speaking of Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. And we are today responding to a key moment of dispute between Senator Ted Cruz and talk host Tucker Carlson very recently when it came to a correct way of understanding Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that is basically a blessing and a warning that all those who bless Israel will be blessed, and all those who curse Israel will be cursed. And there are many Christians today, including Senator Cruz, who believe that is referring in perpetuity to the nation in the Middle East. Even today, it is referring to the modern state of Israel, even though it is a secular state, even though it is predominantly governed by atheists. And if you have a question for Dr. Moorcraft, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Before the break, you basically gave us a lot of background as to what led to the climate, climate being ripe for an adoption of Zionism amongst Christians in America, which of course spread throughout the world. And the dispensationalists and others who are Christian Zionists, they base a lot of their understanding on believing that the modern state of Israel, which was founded in 1948, is the direct result of biblical prophecy. And I want to read a couple of these biblical verses that are claimed to be evidence of the Jews returning to the land, and that we should view the return of the Jews to the land to mean that the modern state of Israel founded in 1948 was a fulfillment of those prophecies. And I'll give you a couple of these prophecies. One is in Ezekiel 37, 21 through 25. Say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them, and they will no longer be two nations and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, and they, their sons, and their sons forever. and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. And in Isaiah 60, verses 18 through 21, violence will not be heard again in your land, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. But you will call your wall salvation and your gates praise. No longer will you have the sun for light by day, nor for brightness will the moon give you light. But you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and your glory, and your God for your glory. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for you will have the Lord for an everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Now, Dr. Moorcraft, could we in any way interpret those verses to mean that that is what we witness in the modern state of Israel?
Well, because in the 20th century, Unitarians quit reading the Bible, and Christians, I forgot how to read the Bible. One of the biggest frustrations in my life is that Christians who say they're Bible believers have absolutely no idea how to read the Bible. For instance, Luke said in the last chapter of Luke, quoting Jesus, that the Old Testament, from the law and the prophets and the Psalms, is about him. So these prophecies in Ezekiel and Isaiah and all the rest of the prophets are messianic prophets. Their ultimate fulfillment is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the establishment of his kingdom when he came to earth 3,000 years ago. All of his parables, for instance, are about his kingdom. And it says that his kingdom came in power when he was born in Bethlehem. And that kingdom continues to grow in power and influence until it is consummated at the end of time. And you see the parables talking about the seed. The seed of the kingdom was planted in the first century in the coming of Christ. The seed continues to grow and develop to maturity, and then throughout history. And then at the end of history, there'll be a great day of harvest. You remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had that Daniel interpreted for him. Nebuchadnezzar, great Babylonian king, said that he saw this statue. And the head of the statue was gold. The chest was silver. The abdomen was bronze, and the legs and the feet were iron and clay. And then he says that he saw a little stone not made man, that is, made by God, a little stone cast against that statue at his feet, that is, and when it hit the statue at the feet, the whole statue fell down. And then the little stone grew to fill the whole earth. Now he interprets that dream for Nebuchadnezzar. He says it's a statue of the nations of the world. And the golden head is you, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire. The chest of gold is the Persian Empire, not as great as Babylon, but nevertheless great. And then the abdomen of bronze is the Greeks, Alexander the Great. The Greeks whipped the Persians. Persians whipped the Babylonians. And then the legs of iron and clay were Rome. Ugly and nowhere near as powerful as the Greeks or as the Persians or as the Babylonians. And so it's all the great nations and empires of the world, built upon the principle of revolt against Almighty God. And then that little stone, says Daniel, represented the kingdom of Christ. And that stone was thrown against the statue during the time of the legs, the iron and the clay. That is, during the days of the Roman Empire, that caused the whole statue to fall. Now, can you think of something that significant that took place during the days of the Roman Empire? Yeah. It was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his incarnation and his life and his death and his resurrection. And it was the coming of the King of the Kingdom and his kingdom that guaranteed the defeat of all nations in rebellion against God and the universal establishment of his kingdom over all the kingdoms of this world. So we could go on over and over and over that the prophecies of the Old Testament are about Christ and his church. For instance, the names of Israel in the Old Testament became metaphors for the church, even in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the church is called Israel. The church is called the sons of Abraham. It is given all kinds of Old Testament names. But even in the Old Testament itself, like in the book of Psalms and in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah, his priests finished preaching through Jeremiah, talking about all these things, that these names with Jerusalem or Zion or the seed of Abraham were all metaphors, not just for the literal city, but for the church of Almighty God. And I can remember when I was very young, I was a dispensationalist. And looked at the all these prophecies in the Old Testament, and I kept saying, oh, I wish I had one drop of Abraham's blood in me so that I could be an heir of all these great prophecies about Israel in the Old Testament. And then I read the third chapter of Galatians, where the third chapter of Galatians says that Abraham is the father of all who believe in Jesus, where it says that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, and those who belong to Christ, regardless of ethnic origin, are the seed of Abraham and heirs to all the promises. Now that hit me between the eyes and changed the rest of my life. I knew now how to read the Old Testament. That when it talked about the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3 clearly said, you can just get it and read it. You don't even need a commentary. It says that the seed of Abraham is Christ, and all those who belong to him by faith. And it says that someday the seed of Abraham, that is, all who belong to Christ by faith, regardless of ethnic origin, shall be the number of those shall be greater than the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. And then it says that in the 12th chapter of Genesis, where the seed of Abraham will have fellowship and communion with Christ, God will enter into a covenant with him. That is not the physical seed of Abraham. That is Christ and all those who belong to him by faith, regardless of ethnic origin. They're the heirs of promise. And every family on earth, it says in Galatians 3, every family will be blessed by the sons of Abraham, i.e., Christ and those who belong to him by faith, regardless of ethnic origin.
Amen. We'll pick up where you left off there, brother. We have to pick up where you left off there, brother, because we have to go to our midway break. But we have to pick up where you left off because we're going to the midway break.
Oh, okay. And about to make your main point. Okay.
But yeah, don't forget the main point, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Attention all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners. There is no doubt we are living in difficult times. Our country is facing out-of-control government spending, a looming trade war, a race towards a traceable digital currency, and the growing BRICS alliance, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. All signs are pointing to major shifts in the global economy. More and more countries are dumping the U.S. dollar, and that should be a wake-up call. That's why I urge you to call my friends at Gold Wealth Management, advertisers here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are offering free, no-obligation reports on market conditions, the BRICS threat, the future of digital currency, and how to protect your wealth with physical gold and silver. Do you already own physical gold or silver, but were never fully educated and still have questions? Maybe you're unsure how it fits into your overall plan. Call for a free evaluation and educational call with the team at Gold Wealth Management. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. Don't guess. Don't delay. Get the information you need to make a sound, informed decision. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. That's Gold Wealth Management.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
James White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to Men in Ministry Leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
Welcome back. Before we return to this fascinating conversation we're having with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III, I must remind you folks that if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check at your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III's church does, Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, whether it's your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or anything else that you want to promote, like a special event, as long as it is compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, please never forget, I never want my listeners, as urgently and as desperately as we need your donations, I never want you to cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for giving to your own church on the Lord's Day in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, please never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to be kind to us and bless us with a gift. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and want us to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the world find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you too if you are without a biblically faithful church home, no matter where you live on the planet Earth. Please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put I need a church in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And we have been discussing or allowing Dr. Moorcraft to give a response to the recent dispute that Senator Ted Cruz had with Tucker Carlson during an interview where they were vehemently disagreeing as to whether or not we are to view the modern state of Israel, founded in 1948, as the Israel that is mentioned repeatedly in the Old Testament, where many promises and blessings are given and warnings of curses are given. And in particular, Genesis 12:3 was brought up, although neither men remembered the exact text. They knew what vaguely what the context was, or the contents, I should say. And both of us today on the show disagree that Ted Cruz knows what the context is. But anyway, if you could, Dr. Moorcraft picked up where you left off about a confusion over how to view some of these promises that we read in the Old Testament, where you believe these promises are actually referring to fulfillment in Christ.
Yes, sir. All this talk that I've given is basically been background to be able to answer Ted Cruz's comments to Tucker Carlson. And that is, as we finished, is Genesis 12 is one of the first sections of God's establishment of a covenant with his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he promises his people in the 12th chapter, he says, I'll be a God to you and your children after you down through their generation in an everlasting covenant. I will enjoy fellowship with you and communion with you. I will give you a seed that eventually will be greater than the stars of the sky. And that seed will bring blessings to every family on the face of the earth. And I'll give you a land to live on where you can raise that seed and build cultures to the glory of God. Now, the important thing to realize, as Jesus said in 24, that the Old Testament, Psalms, Law, all of them is about me. And so we've got to realize when we come to these prophecies, what are they telling us about Christ? All right, and here's how the New Testament interprets it, just like it interprets Ezekiel and all the rest. We let the Bible interpret itself. The Bible is the only infallible interpreter of the Bible. And in Genesis 3, that's what changed my mind. Go to Genesis 3, read it over and over and over. It'll answer all your questions, and it will show you why Ted Cruz is dead wrong in his understanding of the state of Israel today. Number one. The sons of Abraham are those who belong to Christ, regardless of ethnic origin. That's what Galatians 3:28-29 say. We're not racist. We do not believe that the sons of seed of Abraham refer to a particular race. In Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. So that the seed of Abraham, the sons of Abraham, says Galatians 3, are Christ supremely, and all those who belong to Christ, regardless of ethnic origin, that is, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through that seed, through Christ and his church, those who belong to him. And then Galatians 3 goes on to spell out what those two blessings are that all the families of the earth will experience. It says, number one, that all the families of the earth will experience justification by faith in Christ alone. And number two, it will experience the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit right there in Galatians 3. Those are the gospel blessings that Christ and his seed are going to bring to all the people on the face of the earth. And that seed, the church of Christ, will be more numerous someday than the stars of the sky, the sea, and sand, the seashore. And then in Genesis 12, God says, I'm going to give you a land so that you can live on, and you can raise a godly family and build a godly culture. And then God said, Abraham, it's basically the boundaries around the land of Canaan. Within those boundaries, the promised land was the down payment. That wasn't all the land that God gave. But the land of Canaan was the down payment that promise that God would give his people a land. And in Psalm and in Isaiah, that land is universalized to include all the nations of the earth and to include the earth itself. There is a great statement in Romans 4 where it says that Abraham is not simply the heir of Palestine, but Abraham, quote, Abraham is the heir of the world. And then it says that Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land of Palestine. Nope. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those tamed by God, for they shall inherit the earth. And then the Bible, particularly the book of Revelation, speaks of the new heavens and the new earth. So that promise is expanded to include the whole earth on this side of the second coming and the new heavens and new earth on the other side of the second coming. So there is our clear statement to say that the land of this world was given God's people, i.e. the church. They were given names in the New Testament that apply to the people of God in the Old Testament because it's always been one church. There's been people that misunderstand us that we believe that the church has replaced Israel, but we don't believe that. We believe there's only one church, and it is Israel in the Old Testament and the new Israel in the New Testament. So that in Genesis 12, where it says, God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. He's talking to the seed of Abraham. And who's the seed of Abraham? Christ and all those who believe in him by faith, regardless of ethnic origin. He's not talking to unbelieving Jews. He's talking to Christians and to the Christian church. And so that is the answer. It's not that difficult an answer, that the covenant is made between God and Christ and his people in him by grace through faith alone. And all these promises are ultimately aimed at fulfillment in the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Israel, the Israel of God, the seed of Abraham. Just read Galatians 3 and look at all the things that it says are fulfilled in Christ that were mentioned in Genesis 12. Now, there's one more thing. And ultimately, this one answer is sufficient to answer Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is a great man. I appreciate Ted Cruz.
I was hoping he won the presidency when he ran against Donald Trump.
That is true. So I appreciate Ted Cruz and I appreciate Tucker Carlson. But this one thing will refute him. This will refute him. Once it, God made no promises to Israel in unbelief.
Amen.
God made no promises to Israel in unbelief.
Amen.
All of the promises of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament presuppose faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:29. If you belong to Christ by faith, regardless of ethnic origin, you are heir of the promises of God. God has never, ever in the Old Testament anywhere promised to give Israel the state of Israel as we know it today. The state of Israel, the land of Palestine, as long as Israel stays in unbelief. Now, I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't hate the Jews as Jews. I don't hate them at all. I just know that they were all excommunicated from the church in the Matthew 23 and 24, because they rejected the head of the church as the Messiah. And so with the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 70 AD and the destruction of the temple, Israel ended as a state. The temple was destroyed, and they've been wanderers throughout the earth ever since. And it was not Christ that established the state of Israel in 1948. It was the pagan United Nations.
That's right.
That God never makes promises to Jews or Gentiles in unbelief.
Yes, and in fact, it may shock them.
It has the right to defend itself when it's under attack. I think Israel has the right to defend itself from Iran, like it did from Egypt in the Six-Day War back in the 60s. But Israel is an anti-Christian state. It is not made up of Christians. Hardly any of the citizens of Israel are Christians. Most of them are unbelieving Jews. They persecute Christian pastors. They have a socialist government. And so it's not a Christian state at all. It is full of unbelief, and the promises of God to his people were not made to them in unbelief. Right. All God promises his people in unbelief is his wrath and his curse. So the land, which is this entire earth before the second coming, and the new heavens and new earth after the second coming, was promised to all of God's people, regardless of whether they're Greek or Jew, if they believe in Jesus Christ as their Messiah and Lord and Savior and the Son of God.
And it may shock a lot of our listeners to know that the Orthodox Jews, nearly to a man, and especially the Hasidic Jews, rejected the forming of the modern state of Israel strongly opposed Zionism because they believed it to be an artificial, man-made, manufactured fulfillment of prophecy, which was not a prophecy, fulfillment of prophecy at all, according to them, because they believed their Messiah had to usher in the new restored state, and they don't believe that their Messiah has come. And to this day, the majority of Hasidic Jews totally vehemently reject the modern state of Israel.
Let me tell you my experience with an Orthodox Jew rabbi. ACLU, which is socialistic and anti-American, the ACLU often has forums in Atlanta, and when they want some religious right-wing fanatic, they always want me to be on their show, and I always show up. And so I was one time on a forum, and there were about 20 people in the room, and I and my wife and two other friends were the Christians. All the rest of them were humanist Jewish people. And there were only about four or five of us that were Christians. So they lambasted me. They were cutting Christianity. They were crushing Republicanism as over against socialism. And then this Jewish rabbi. And he made some point. And I said to him, "Sir, I'm glad you're here. Because although I'm a Christian and you're Jewish, we ought to have more in common than anybody else in this room. Because I believe Yahweh and the Torah are essential to public justice." And he said very angrily with this German accent, "You have misunderstood Judaism. Judaism is not a religion of the Torah. It is a religion of rabbis.
It is a religion of what? Of rabbis?
What he just said was Judaism has nothing to do with the Old Testament. That it is, its basis is the individual arbitrary writing of these men through the ages called rabbis who figured up as they went along.
Yeah.
So I think that one of the causes of most of the wars in the Middle East has been the influence of America's foreign policy concerning Israel, determined by premillennialism and dispensationalism.
And of course,
Israel is a secular state. It is not, it has been excommunicated from the church in Matthew 23 and 24. It no longer stands as God's people because they have rejected their Messiah and the head of the church. I believe that someday that God will cause the Jews to come back to Christ and to believe him and in him as their Savior.
Amen.
John Witherspoon, the only preacher to sign the Declaration of Independence, said that one of the goals of his life was be to baptize the Jew in the name of the triune God. And we must not hate them. It is the liberals that hate them. It is the leftists that hate them. And they're trying to make the world think that we are the ones that hate the Jews. We are not the one that hates the Jews. We are the ones that look forward to their salvation someday. We are those who are thankful, as Paul said in Romans 3, that the Jews have a great privilege, and that is they were given the oracles of God. The oracles of God are divine revelation in fixed form, the Word of God that we depend upon as Jews and as Jewish Christians and as Gentile Christians. And we praise the Lord that salvation is of the Jews, Christ is Jewish, and there's the Savior of the world. The oracles of God were held in the hands of the Jews. There's the word that we depend upon. We look forward to their conversion someday and their return back to the church of the living God.
Hallelujah. Now, we do have a listener question. We have Jeremiah in Spanish Fork, Utah, who says, how do you respond to Christians who may even agree with much of what you said, but they still believe that it is our duty to support Israel because they are our only true ally in that area of the world?
Well, that is something that we must think about. However, the Bible teaches us that Christian societies are to enter into no alliances with non-Christian societies. Now, Muslims, I think, are enemies of God. And I believe someday they'll either be erased from history or converted to God. I believe Jews today are enemies of Christ. And someday they'll be erased, will be converted. But the Bible clearly says, and George Washington said it the best, I wish I had his quote memorized. But George Washington said it the best, we have no business interfering or making alliance with other nations, particularly those that are of a different moral order and religion than ours.
And, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Jeremiah. One of the things that adds to that belief of supporting Israel is the open, vehement hatred of the Muslim nations against us, calling us the great Satan, calling for our destruction along with Israel, We're the great Satan. They're the little Satan. So there is some strategic logic in a desire to stand with Israel in military conflict.
Yes, sir, there is. And I'm glad that they are destroying one of the greatest enemies of the United States in years and years and years. That Iran is in shambles. The Ayatollah has surrendered. They've bombed its bunker. Soldiers in Iran are fleeing every day. The crowd in the city of Tehran are cheering the defeat of the Ayatollah and his Muslim radicals. They threatened us. Any nation that threatens us with nuclear power and has the authority to the ability to carry out the threat, in my opinion, must be dealt with thoroughly by the United States. I take Iran's threats against us seriously, and I want to destroy them as a threat to the United States and to the rest of the world.
And another thing about, even if you want to give the Zionists a pass, who will insist that the prophecies of the Old Testament prophesy and promise that Jews will return to the Middle East and restore that specific nation as the modern state of Israel, that they think that that is God's people and that is a chosen people there. How on earth could they possibly believe that that coincides with one of their verses of the Jews returning to their land, when in Ezekiel 37 that I read earlier, in 21 through 25, they will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned and will cleanse them, and they will be my people. How can they possibly, these Christians, possibly believe that that is an accurate description of an atheistic secular state? Now, obviously, there are Christians there. I've interviewed two Israeli Christian pastors. You know, there are Christians there. But that is not a way that you could ever in a million years identify the people as a whole or even in general.
Yeah, true. And I think the thing to remember is just two main theological points. Number one, the Old Testament is about Christ. The prophecies of the prophets in the Old Testament are prophecies that must ultimately be fulfilled in Christ. They had a precursor fulfillment with the return of Judah to Jerusalem when Cyrus the Great, the king of Persia, destroyed the Babylonians and let them go back to the city of Jerusalem to rebuild after 70 years of Babylonian captivity. That is an illustration of the messianic complete fulfillment, but it doesn't exhaustively forbid illustrated. And moreover, these were believing people. These were people who wanted to return to Jerusalem, the holy city, rebuild the temple so they could worship Almighty God. And God has made no promises to the Jews of unbelief.
Okay. We have Tony in Westchester, New York, who says, how do you respond to the argument that says replacement theology is racist and bigoted? Well, go ahead.
I would say I don't believe in replacement theology. I don't think there is any such thing as replacement theology. That is a misunderstanding of what we do believe. Replacement theology says that the church has replaced Old Testament Israel. I don't believe that the church has replaced Old Testament Israel. I believe that there's always been but one church, and that church goes all the way back to at least Abraham. And his family comprised the church. It says in the book of Acts that Moses belonged to Ecclesia, or the church in the wilderness. And that's the church I belong to, because the word for church there is the same Greek word for church in the New Testament. So we don't believe that the church is replaced Israel. We believe Israel was the church. And the church is the true Israel of God. And someday, all the Jews are going to be converted and brought back to the true church. And that the sons of Abraham are true church, covenant people of God. So I'm glad to ask that question so I can clarify it, because I'm against all forms of racism. And I think racism, a replaced theology could be looked upon as racist. And I do believe in replacement theology.
Yeah, the accusation, really, when you hear people who accuse postmillennialists and amillennialists of being bigots and anti-Semites, they describe our views as if we are saying that the Gentiles have replaced the Jews, which obviously is something that we don't believe. There are still Jews in the body of Christ, and there always were. But, I mean, it is so clear in 1 Peter 2:9, where Peter says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isn't that true, that could only be speaking to Christians? The unbelieving Jew is not proclaiming the excellencies of him who called them out of darkness into marvelous light.
Yes. Particularly Peter. You have Peter referring to the church in terms that God spoke of the Israel in Exodus 19, the very same words.
Yeah, and we have...
There is a book that I recommend to you, a relatively new book by a man named Palmer Robertson.
What, can you repeat its name?
Now, there are all sorts of books on this subject.
Yeah.
It's hard to get it in the mind because they've been misled for so long. When the Jews rejected Christ as their Messiah, they were excommunicated from the church, according to Matthew 21, 22, 20, 24, when God sent the Romans to burn down Jerusalem, and particularly destroy the temple in Jerusalem.
Can you repeat the title of the book and the name of the author? Because he broke up.
Sir?
Can you repeat the title of the book and the name of the author? Because you broke up.
Oh, yes, sir. The Israel of God by Palmer Robertson.
Old Palmer Robertson.
Yes, sir. Owen Palmer Roberts.
Right. And also, we can't forget Paul's words that are very clear. For instance, when Tucker was asking Ted Cruz to define who Israel is or what Israel is, Ted Cruz, who was raised by a pastor, should know that in Romans chapter 2, 28 through 29, Paul says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from people, but from God.
Amen. I preached on that just the other day.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our final break right now, Dr. Moorcraft. If anybody wants to send in a question, do it now or forever hold your peace. We're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Pastor Tom Buck of First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
And don't forget, folks, this program is paid for in part by my very dear longtime friend, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime friend, Dan Buttafuoco, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Contact him no matter where you live in the United States. if you're the victim of an accident or injury or medical malpractice. And make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we are now back with Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III. And we have Terrence in Searcy, Arkansas, who asks, what do you think of the ministries that are funding the return of Jews from Russia and other areas of the world to Israel? And they believe this is going to hasten the return of Christ. Yeah, I remember in the radio station I used to work for, they had an advertiser called On Eagle's Wings or Wings of Eagles, one or the other. And they were all gleeful about flying Jews back to Israel. And the thing that amazes me about this is that dispensationalists believe that 2/3 of the Jews are going to be slaughtered and killed in Israel in the end times. One of the verses is Zechariah 13:8. And it will be in all the land, declares Yahweh, that two parts in it will be cut off and breathe their last. What do you have to say about what our listener asked?
Well, two or three things. Number one, I think it's a waste of money. That rather than flying Jews back to Israel, we ought to take that same money and send missionaries, Christian missionaries, there to lead them to Christ.
Right.
And secondly, there is no prophecy anywhere in the world that says that building Jerusalem as an independent state is a sign of the second coming. I challenge you nowhere. Now, the reason people come to that conclusion is they don't know how to read the Bible. If I had the privilege of speaking to Ted Cruz, I want to emphasize that I really do respect him and like him. I'd like to ask you a couple things. Number one, the view that says that Genesis 12:3 applies to the literal Jews is a part of a system, and you just can't pick and choose. You've got to take the whole system with you. The same system that says, according to the same system that says that God's going to bless those who bless the Jews and those God's going to curse those who curse the Jews, also say that the seed of Abraham be more numerous than the stars, the sky, and the sand of the seashore. Now, that's a lot of people. And it says it's going to bring the blessings of justification by faith alone and the Holy Spirit to all the peoples of the earth. Jews don't even believe in justification by faith alone. That if you can't pick and choose, if you believe one of these promises applied to the literal Jews, you've got to take the whole shebang. And the important thing to realize is that view, somebody asked a while ago if replacement theology wasn't racist, and I said, it could be. I don't believe it anyway. But the other thing I would say is the view that the seed of Abraham only applies to the Jews is racist. And there is no racism to the gospel. Read Galatians 3. The promises of Abraham are not just directed to the Jews, because that would be racist. They are directed to those who belong to Christ by faith, regardless of ethnic origin. Throughout history, Romans 11, throughout history, there will be a remnant of Jewish people saved, not many, but a few here and there. And then later on in history, the rest of the Jews are going to be converted to Christ. So you have those two words, Romans 11.
the word limit and the word rest or remainder. Throughout history, there's going to be a remnant of Jews saved, many, but some, praise the Lord. And then as this we proceed, under the grace of God, by the powerful preaching of the gospel, the remainder of Jews are going to be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and brought back into the church. There's only one church. God is not a bigamist. He does not have two brides. He only has one bride. He's always had one bride. And that one bride is those who belong to Christ, whether they're Jews or Gentiles.
Hallelujah. And it's a tragedy that many will still exclusively say that God's chosen are solely the Jews, whereas we, you and I, and Reformed Christians in general, believe that it is those from out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, Jews and Gentiles.
Yes, that's true.
So I want you to summarize in the 2 minutes that we have left what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners about this very important topic.
I want to say, you want me to do it?
Yes.
First of all, I would say that America from its very beginning has been all connected with its understanding of the kingdom of God. And whenever its understanding is correct, it is blessed and it grows. Whenever that point of God's kingdom is unbiblical, it crashes. When our founding fathers came to this country, their viewpoint was that the kingdom of God will be victorious over all other kingdoms of the world, and God will bless the church, made up of Jews and Gentiles, and those who curse the church will be cursed, and those who bless the church will be blessed. It's not talking about modern Jews. That's a racist statement to say that Genesis 12 only applies to the Jews. It doesn't apply to unbelieving Jews at all. It is directed toward the church, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anybody curses or harms the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will curse them. And if anyone blesses the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bless them. That's the great gospel. There is no racist gospel. To say these promises only applies to the Jews. God promised the Jews a land. God promised the Jews that they would, if anybody harmed them, they would harm them. Those are all racist statements. And there is no racism in the gospel of Christ. Study Galatians 3.
Hallelujah. Well, I want to make sure our listeners have your websites. First of all, the website of the church where Dr. Joseph C. Moorcraft III is the pastor is heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's for Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia. If you want to order Dr. Moorcraft's 8-volume commentary on the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. And you can find out about all of Dr. Moorcraft's books that he has authored at comprehensivechristianity.com, comprehensivechristianity.com. Also, if you want to find out more about dispensationalism, its origins, and so on, well, I would urge you to go to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio website, ironsharpensironradio.com, and type in the name Dan Hummel, H-U-M-M-E-L. I interviewed him twice, a two-part interview on the rise and fall of dispensationalism. Phenomenal interviews. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I want to thank Dr. Moorcraft for being such a superb guest. I hope you all have a blessed and safe and joyful and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.